Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrapper screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from this what the hellscape for another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, January 10th, 2021. And my guests today are Anna Mazza, Sam Morrill, and first-timer Jackie Tone. Hello!
Hello!
Hey, man.
Hey. It's hard with a triple hello. Like, everybody sort of waits back a second. I'm like, Anna and Sam going to take this first hello? Like, how's it going to go?
Well, that's why for the rest of the show, we do things individually and alphabetically. Of course, we'll all talk over each other on occasion. But let's meet everybody, starting with Anna Mazza is here, or in back. Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, I should say.
Yes.
Do you mind me giving away that piece of information?
Yeah, you can give my address. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So we don't have to go that far. How are you doing? It's been a while.
I'm good. It has been a while. It's been a fun year, huh?
Yo, but, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I should have, I should have reached out earlier. I was tooling around on the Doug Loves Movies on Twitter, and somebody said, when's Anna Mazza going to be back on the show? And I was like, yeah, when the fuck is Anna Mazza going to be back on the show?
So
here we are.
I matched with somebody on Bumble, and they didn't want to be romantic with me. They just wanted to know when I was coming back on Doug Loves Movies. So that was a big fun moment.
I wonder if that's two dudes you have to worry about, or just one.
Just none now.
But thank you for being here. And are you seeing movies even though it's a pandemic?
Well, HBO put a bunch of movies on that were, I guess, supposed to come out on the theater. They put them on HBO, right?
That's sort of
the
deal.
Wonder
yeah.
Woman.
Yeah. That's the one so far that everybody's, wondering if it's going to change the way movies are viewed for good. And I was like, well, once people are already looking at movies on their phones, I don't think the big screen really, you know, only as a kind of a special attraction.
Oh, it's so depressing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, The Gathering, clearly everybody needs very much to do. So, like, you know, if we can put on a show again at some point, then I think people will come, you know.
Yeah, I do miss sneaking food in my purse. So I'll just, like, sneak treats into my living room now. It'll be fine.
Right, yeah. You just have to go from one room to another. It's just not near. That doesn't feel like the exciting
espionage. The thrill is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Also joining us today, he's got a specially made himself, and we're going to talk about it. It's Sam Morril. Hey, dude.
Hey, man. Thank you.
I'm laughing already. I love
you're an easy audience. I just said hello and you're like, that's fucking, like, that's strong, yeah. Dude. Yeah.
It seems like what you're saying is funny. You just have a very confidently humorous voice, even when you're not making jokes, but you made your own special and people love it.
Thanks. Yeah.
You're you're like on rooftops.
Yeah, it kind of started with a woman grabbing my mic in a backyard show in Bushwick. And I was like, I should be recording this because this is ridiculous. So we got some camera people and we started just doing roofs and they looked beautiful because I actually had my last two specials just like pictures of the New York, with a New York backdrop. And now it's actually the New York backdrop, which I was not anticipating, but it looks awesome. Cause this guy, Matt Salicuse, directed it and he's got a great eye and it's great. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, the promos make it look like, you know, it's the kind of thing a comedian would have done if a pandemic didn't happen.
Yeah. It's weird. I was at the Comedy Cellar one night. They were like, we were just hanging out, when the numbers were way down in the summer, and I saw David Tell on stage and he has like a recorder out. He's like playing, he's playing music in between jokes. He's just fucking around. And I'm looking around. I was like, it looks like we got hit by a nuclear bomb and David Tell is just like trying to raise morale. It's such a weird vibe. So, yeah, that's kind of what the special, like, I wanted it to just be like, all right, I'm seeing all these like New York is dead pieces. Let's raise some morale. Let's have some fun. I think we kept it pretty safe. I mean, I couldn't be 100%. I mean, I've noticed the ultra rich are like, we're going to be fine. And I've also noticed the ultra poor, like, we're not going to be fine, but we don't give a shit. So you kind of have to like set some boundaries and be like, hey, I'd like it if you wore a mask. I'd like it to be this, but you know, you just got to do your best with that, you know?
Yeah. It's a weird thing. And it's also, it feels weird telling somebody from under a mask something to do anything, but to wear a mask seems especially weird to be saying from underneath a mask. It just is.
It's definitely weirder to say wear a mask if you're not wearing a mask, because then you're a dick not in a mask telling someone else to wear a mask. And then I would just be.
Are there those people that believe it, but only think people that aren't them should wear masks?
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying if you're under a mask and you're telling someone to wear a mask, that at least beats not having one. Like, because I've definitely been worn my mask and been the like flag waver of my street and being like saying sort of like, obviously put a mask on, you know, nice and real aggressively New York.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't kind of yell at anybody to do anything when I've got a mask on my face, and I wish they were standing farther away from me. It's so weird when that, like, Doug has always been a weird name to say, like in like a loud bar or something. But it's still a hard name to say underneath a mask. Hey, that's Jackie Tone, by the way, that we've been already talking to. So I might as well introduce her. That's all right. We know you and love you from Glow. And now I think I got the title right. Best Leftovers Ever.
That's the one, dude.
I was telling everybody about your show before you got here. I hope you didn't hear any of that. No, it was good.
I wish I did.
It's amazing I've only seen one episode, but what the chefs can do with people's leftovers in their fridge, it's
so nuts.
Incredible.
So, yeah, I mean, just to tell the best friends at home, if they haven't seen it yet, what it is, Best Leftovers Ever is on Netflix, and it's a cooking competition show where the chefs, just like it sounds, there's two different rounds. In round one, they take leftovers from, like, fridges behind them, and we say, like, hey, you guys weren't feeling well last night, so all you have in your fridge is, like, matzo ball soup and applesauce and some toast, and we need you to make like a flavor bomb brunch. So you have to fully transform the leftovers into something incredible. And then in round two, we give them takeout. So it's like we give them fully dressed Chinese food and they turn it into high-end cuisine from a totally other place. So like you can't turn Italian into Italian. And it's just a wacky, it's like Pee Wee's Playhouse meets Chopped. Like, it's just a wacky fucking show, and it's so fun.
I've always found you can't really turn Italian into Italian.
No, dude, you gotta
feel right.
No, you gotta put pasta in a blender and turn it into a sauce for Mexican food. Everybody knows that.
Oh, that sounds like a good show. I like, I love Chopped. I gotta watch your show.
Oh, dude, you'll love it. It's just, it's like, it's the lightest, I have to say, like, as a snarky Jew from New York, it's the lightest, most joyful thing. Like, it's just, there's no, like, there's competition, but the judges are nice, the contestants are nice, everybody's supportive of everybody. I mean, we're honest, if your food's not great, or we think there's stuff you could do to make it better, we're gonna tell you, but it's not, like, there's definitely no Simon Cowell.
I like on those cooking shows though that like every, I didn't realize like how hard every chef's life was. Like every chef on Chopped, they like roll up their sleeves. I'm like, are those gang tattoos?
You know, 100%. Like, and they're like, my first two wives died and now I have this third wife. She's in this wheelchair. You're like, wow, what happened, Jim? But it's, yeah, everyone has a story. Also, it makes it, I mean, I hate to say it, but it annoys me when I'm watching like The Voice and everything is about someone's story. And I'm like, okay, you're a mediocre singer at best, but that's a great story.
Yeah. But you found like a dead baby in your closet and they're like, she's been singing since she saw a dead baby. And I'm like, all right, I guess I wanted to.
She found her voice in that bassinet.
But I do like that these people, like, I don't understand what gangs let them walk out to pursue the culinary arts, but I still, I still like seeing the story as well.
But I think, again, though, like, that's something I think you guys, there's a little bit of a human interest piece in there. We definitely intro the chefs and talk about them and where they're from. But again, like, it really, the whole show is sort of, I'm just going to say kind of sits under a rainbow. Like it's really, it's a good watch. It's really like,
it's quickly paced.
Thank you. But
also it's very clear what's going on with the food and the transformations. And, I was very impressed with the.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad you like it.
America needs nicer, we need nicer reality shows. Cause those like the British Bake Off, they're so nice to each other. You know, they're like hugging at the end and shit. But then
100%. That's what I love about this.
But even we like bring in Gordon Ramsay, who's British and he's an asshole. Like we 100%. Bring in assholes. What is that?
Yeah. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Did you get thrown down a flight of stairs? And then everyone at home like, ha ha ha. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so nice to the kids though. When the kids are on, he's nice.
I was just about to say that.
yeah, right. It's like he always is really Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, I guess. I don't know what his deal is, but thank you to all of you.
Wolf.
Thank you for being here, Jackie.
Oh my dude, this is great. I love you, and I love all your shows. It's like,
oh well, thank you.
You might have the most. Doug, do you think you have the award, like you hold the title for most shows of any part, like? You have so many shows.
I guess not currently, but I've racked up a few,
So dope.
I got in the podcast game so early.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that.
You had nothing better to do than come up with other ones, you know.
Oh,
as long as the flagship is sturdy, you know, then you can just keep, pushing out little boats.
Oh, we love to hear that. Means.
I need to say quickly from the corrections department that Dermot Mulroney was in an animated film called Cats and Peachtopia, I think might have just been Ford, and then they, you know, he was English speaking voice. Not Cats, the, you know, the movie Cats with Taylor Swift and James Corden.
Doug, we're all going to hang up if you keep making stuff up like Cats and Peachtopia. I'm just telling you that. Me and Anna and Sam decided we're not going to stand for it.
You know what I was thinking is, like, I forgot. I just watched some show of this, like, horrific murder. I forgot what it was. But then I was like, I was humming the magical Mr. Mistopheles from Cats in the Shower. And I was like, if this is the last thing I sing before I fucking die, like, how sad is that?
You know? Also, kind of a great way to go.
How do you know that song?
Because I saw it as a kid. I liked Cats as a kid. And then I grew up and I was like, this is bad. This is pretty bad. But like that one song is still pretty catchy.
I think musically it's all fine. You know, it's not necessarily something I want to listen to anymore. But, you know, for a while, I thought those songs were enjoyable to listen to. But yeah, I don't know what happened to Cats.
I think it's weird too, because I remember learning that it was the worst thing that ever happened to the world after I had loved it for many years, and going like, I mean, obviously I saw it when I was five, like in whatever, but somewhere between 5 and 10, I saw it on Broadway. And then I remember in like my teen years and becoming a comic and getting older, and everybody was shitting on it and roasting it and being like, yeah, I've always fucking hated that. Losers and Cat hate. I loved that when I was a kid. I mean, obviously somebody loved it. It was open for 40 years.
It was fucking crushing that Winter Garden Theater, man.
Dude, Winter Garden with those white gorgeous lights. Like
it had a run. It was like
nobody liked Cats.
It was like Cats and Les Mis. I'm like, don't tell me everyone hated this fucking musical. You just jumped on. I mean, I see now. Like, yeah, it makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. It's someone who was on acid.
You know, the ad campaign and the posters for Cats said now and forever.
Wait, Doug, do you remember? Do you remember the commercial? I don't know if you guys are. I know Sam's a New Yorker, but there used to be a commercial. This lady, so they would interview people as they left the theater, which is such a great marketing and promo trick, because everybody's very excited that second. Like if you catch them a half hour later and they're drinking a cup of coffee, they could give a shit. But the moment they walk out the theater, and they interviewed this woman and she was like, I loved it. I'm going to see it twice more. My husband works in the area. And my whole family used to say my husband works in the area for like 20 years. It's been a total family joke. But also, think about what not a compliment. Like the only reason she's going to see it is because her husband, like it's not even a compliment.
They just come out like Spider-Man turn off the dark is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they're like, book it.
Yeah. The food isn't great here, but it's in my neighborhood.
That's right. But I live by here. So I'm going to come back. And the way she said, I'm going to see it twice more. She like had a plan.
Yeah. Well, you got to just to figure everything out.
Yeah. You also kind of trick it, even with a shitty musical, they're so expensive that you kind of trick yourself into being, that was pretty good. Like Rocky the Musical, that was pretty good, right? You're like, yeah, sure.
$220 bucks a ticket for the shitty seats. You're like, you have to tell yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That fight, though, it was fun watching him pretend to fight, you know, during a Broadway musical.
dance, good old dance fighting.
I mean, they recreate the fight scenes without, I don't think there's choreography per se. That's not just fighting choreography, but it's pretty, you know, pretty well done. It's like, I don't know if anybody will ever produce it again. I don't even know if that show went on tour.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like the Broadway demo, you know, I don't have to like, who we need to grab is fucking whoever loves Stallone. That's who we need to get.
Think they'll do 2020, the musical.
Yes, I bet you.
For sure.
Forget it, dude. If UCB was open, 17 teams would already be writing that.
I don't want to see anything about this. Like, I mean, he's a New Yorker. Like, when all those 9/11 movies came out, I was like, I'm good. I don't need to see all this shit.
I could not.
Let's
agree
give
more.
It a minute. Let's
or it's like
get
a plane
escapism.
Crash movie or a plane that almost crashed but then ended up landing miraculously. I'm like, I am all set. I need to get on those a lot. I can't see that. And having lived through 2020, like I don't, but I feel similarly about movies that are about like acting or comedy. I'm like, I know it's a bummer, and we get rejected all the time, and it's almost impossible to win. I don't need to watch it on a movie.
I wonder if they did that after the Holocaust. They're like, we do not need a movie right away, guys.
That's why Schindler's List didn't come out for so long.
Fair enough.
Hey, but yeah, I do have an example to that rule that you just mentioned, though, about how, you know, movies about, you know, true stories have to be a bummer. You play Gilda Radner in, what's the title again?
I know, I will, in your defense, I did this movie and I can almost never remember the title. It's A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know, it's a great title
in a mouthful.
You know, once you've dealt with the movie, but like just to tell people about it, it's hard to, remember and share. But that movie is so fun for what is essentially a very depressing
I couldn't
situation.
Ignore. But then you got David Wayne at the helm, and he can't not be.
Yeah, and the having Martin Mull narrate it as him already dead was just a brilliant move that works, you know, beautifully. And then everybody does such a great job with the you know, with the individual characters, who many of whom we know, people we know very well, so it's easy to into a caricature or seeming like a sketch, and it seems really real. What's his name? Donald Gleason. I didn't even know that was him until the end credits.
It truly, I mean, I would say of anyone, because the other people, like Joel plays Chevy Chase, and like, you know, he does an incredible job, but it's clearly Joel. But Donald, like, does not look like himself. I think Will Forte, too. Like, Will had this crazy long wig. Like, they really transformed people quite a bit. I mean, I was pretty me. Like, I'm little and Jewy like Gilda. So they just were like, yeah, just let her. She's got frizzy hair. Just let it be. It was great.
Yeah, did you have to grow out your armpits?
I didn't. unfortunately, I've got most of the hair of my body lasered off many years ago. They would have had to work in my pits.
When Gilda showed her pits and was like, where she had hair, was that, do you think that was fake hair, or do you think
I think it was fake hair because I don't know actually, but I think it was fake hair because it was only that one Candy Cane. I forget that character's name.
Candy Slice, I think.
The rock singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was fake, but I don't know.
I think they just spray painted her pits black. I think that's what it was.
I think that
was. Was she one of your favorite SNL people, Jackie?
Yeah, it's funny that you're asking that. So I'm just Googling Gilda Radner rock character because now I want to think. Is it Candy Slice for sure, Doug? I want to remember.
I think so.
Yeah, you got it right. God damn it. So, I mean, I'm happy for you. That's what I meant. I'm happy for you. Good job.
Never mind.
never mind. So when I tried out for that movie, it could have gone one of two ways. So Gilda was my favorite my whole life. I had a poster of her in my room, and I had her VHS Best of SNL that I like truly played till it broke. And when I was a not working actor for the better part of my career, because I started acting when I was 9 and I didn't get to play Gilda till I was in my mid-30s. And so I did not have a lot going on. And I used to hear people do interviews and talk about and be like, I played that cassette till it broke. And I was like, shut the fuck up. No, you didn't. And then that actually happened with Gilda. And so then I always felt cheesy telling it. Anyway, obsessed with her to answer your question, Sam. And so when I auditioned for the movie, they had seen everybody in town already. And there was me and a girl whose last name, I forget her first name, but something Ramirez. And she was this gorgeous Latin girl. And I was like, oh, who are you trying out for? And she was like, Gilda. And I was like, oh my God, they've literally seen every person in the city. It's like me and a hot Latin girl trying out for Gilda Radner. We're the only two left. And I went in to audition and they said like you could do a character or two of hers, but they're not going to be used in the movie because the movie takes place pre-Gilda being on SNL when she was in the Lampoon and doing Second City and all that stuff. And so I just said, okay, I'll do, and I just did them all. I didn't do Candy Slice, but I did Gilda, I did Emily Latella, and I did Rosanna Dana, and I did Lisa Lubner, and I just went in there and I just changed costumes and I just did all of them. And I think it could have gone, you know, they could have been like, oh God, that was so try hard and painful. Like, did that girl really need to do costume changes? But it, I just went for it. I mean, I, at that point I was so out of work. I was like, this is my thing. This is my chance. Let's go. And then the same casting people cast Glow and put me on Glow. So it's like, it started everything for me.
Wow.
Yeah. Every great audition is somebody hitting the tone that they were looking for, you know, or like, or showing them what the tone should be, you know, and it's like, it's just a hair off of behaving like a crazy person.
100%, Doug. And what's funny, I think, is if you guys know this, and we've all been doing this for so long, when it's not you, 999 times out of 1,000, it really was like a weird sort of, not a breaking point moment, but I was like, let's fucking go. Like, I'm going to just do it all. And it's either going to look try hard and embarrassing, or they're going to be like, oh, whoa, there's like some Gilda in there. And luckily it was the latter.
They found that Gilda in there. Yeah. All right. So
I have a story about that not working out. It was for Trainwreck, and I'm friends with Amy Schumer, and they told me to go in and read for this part. And my friend encouraged me. I was playing like a goofball who has like a one night stand with her in the beginning. And my friend was like, dude, take your shirt off and just start riffing. He's like, you have a dumb looking body. It looks funny. Just do it. And I was like, yes, that's a great idea. I did it. And the casting woman looked at me like she was like, uh-huh. And just, I was like, all right, I don't think I got it.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. There's that in another situation. They'd have been like, dude, Sam Morrill came in here. He fucking took his shirt off. He's squeezing his nips. It's the funniest audition. I mean, it didn't go that way, but it could have.
Either that or like Sam Morrill got me too'd for taking his shirt 100%. Off in an audition. So
would
either
not
way.
Stop twisting his nips. Would not.
Yeah.
All right. I got a question for everybody before we start the game portion of the show. But even before we do that, we have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. And
sorry.
Having a very lively, I know,
seamlessly.
I say it's going to be quick and then the guests are often surprised.
But I wanted to, can I tell the people at home what just happened or no? Is that too much how the sausage is made?
I think they might glean from how this often happens where everybody, you know, my guests tend to find it amusing that there was virtually no break at all there.
Well, you can't say virtually because there was no break. It wasn't you said, all right, we're going to take a break. We're back. The words were connected. Oh, that tickled me. Sorry.
That's okay. Edit point. We're back. And no, we leave it all in too. That's the other weird part about it.
Edit point.
Anna Mazza.
Yes.
Ready for a hardball question?
I've never been more ready for anything in my life. Let's do it.
That is a good answer. You know what? That's it. That's my question. Sam. No, Anna, could you recommend a motion picture, a film, not what's that thing on Netflix right now, the year 2020?
Okay.
they've got it listed as a movie. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes long, and it's just actors pretending to be other people talking in a documentary about the pandemic.
Yeah, and they released it before 2020 was even over, you know?
Yeah.
It could have been crazy.
Like a year in review thing, but it just is like, I mean, there's an example of like, I love most of the people that are in it, but it is just a huge swing and a miss. Like, there's nothing funny about it. It's and they even have been promoting it as like from the people who brought you Black Mirror. Is Black Mirror funny at all?
That's so weird.
It was like watching, it was like the movie version of somebody that was trying too hard to be funny, is what it felt like.
Oh my God. What a chilling explanation.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
I don't watch Netflix that much anymore. HBO Max is just much better shit, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got their own, places they like the best. I, of course, been suckered into having almost all of them just because, I don't want to miss out on things.
Well, because you love movies.
I do. I do love movies. But also, turns out, I love these TV series that might as well be movies. Now it's like, because of Netflix, you really can get into, that should have been 4 hours and not nine, and that should have been a series and not a movie. And
right.
That should
have
been,
we all become executive producers.
Exactly. Everybody's got an opinion of what it should have been because, but also the reason we all have these opinions is it could be other things, like the Queen's Gambit could be an amazing 2.5 hour movie and right. It's an amazing series, but they tell the story like a series, like they got plenty of time.
Yeah.
So you do have to put in the time, but it's worth it because it's all so enjoyable.
Like that was good. I don't, what I don't like about Netflix? I don't know if they all do that. They don't even pay attention, but like you'll be watching the credits and the next one just starts immediately. And it's like,
dude,
give it a minute. Like, let me think about what I just saw. Don't just
They want to keep you on the platform and they want you to binge, but I agree.
Right.
Yeah. Because if they give you enough time, you might go elsewhere.
But all good. Like, you ever just watch an episode of like Mad Men or something, and you're like, I don't want to start immediately. That was heavy. What I just saw. You want to
100%.
You want to give it a minute. Yeah. And Queen's Gambit was. I mean, I thought it was a really good show. So
I also used to feel that way when things were a week apart. Like, I got to process it. I got to think about it. Then the next week, when it was like last week on, I was like, oh shit, that's right.
Oh my God.
Remember that happened. Like, what a joy.
Remember when you needed recaps? That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially like, when things would go away for, 6 months and come back, you really needed that recap. But, or like, the case of like Sopranos or Game of Thrones, didn't they have like breaks that were as long as a year, year and a half?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like Game of Thrones at one point went 6 years between seasons. I was like, I turned 40.
Yeah, it's wild. But that's the other thing, is that people can debate whether or not, something should be, any of the various options that all these places have and what they can, turn a thing into. So it's just...
Yeah, with some of those murder docs, you're like, we didn't need 12 hours. That's how I felt about like Making a Murderer, where I'm like, that was one that could have been like four episodes.
So funny you're saying that, Sam, because I watched randomly. I turned on Hulu. That's not the weird part. Turned on Hulu. Oops, I muted myself. Sorry. Guys, this story's going well. Why don't I actually just vomit during the punchline? I watched 2020 came up like on the main screen. It was like, well, here is an episode, and it seemed super interesting, so we turned it on and we're watching, and it's like going kind of slow, and when I pause it was 1 hour and 20 minutes to tell a story of this like random fucking love triangle, but then you're in. But well, it could have been told in 10 minutes
at least on Hulu. The commercial breaks are as fast as the one you just experienced here.
That was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I love when they go to commercial break. Like, I'll forget I'm watching like Bachelorette on Hulu, and I'll forget that it's not on network TV. So when they go to a break, I'm like, all right, well, I'll have to sit here and do whatever for 3 minutes. And then it comes right back. It's so exciting.
It's good every time. You're like, that was quick. I didn't even have time to get a drink.
Yeah. They don't fuck around. I don't know what their weird deal is with Hulu, but lots of network shows are just there the very next day without commercials. So it's like, I'll just wait till tomorrow.
That's a good point too, Doug. We like, I kind of miss commercials sometimes, not like really, but like I miss like resetting a little bit where you get a commercial, you're like, all right, I'll get up for a second.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. They, when you watch like a network show, like Good Girls, when you watch that on Netflix, they the commercial breaks are all devised to make people want to come back.
Right.
You know, they're all cliffhangers, you know? So every little cliffhanger through the show, and especially the one at the very end of each episode, you know, you have them resolved immediately.
Right. There's just no cliff.
It's a little, sometimes it's a little bit too much too fast. You know?
Would you say they're more curb hangers? Thank you guys. That's my time.
You can see Jackie.
You can't. You'll never see Jackie again. That's
can't see you, but I'm standing up and clapping.
Thank you so much, Anna. But I could hear your enthusiasm, and I appreciate it.
Anna's really had some time to chew on that question.
Oh, yeah. What was the question?
What was it? It was a movie. Could you recommend a movie?
Just any movie?
Yeah. Well, you know, you could frame it like for people that would enjoy seeing something right now that's new and fresh and maybe not too traumatizing.
Oh, can it be an old movie?
I can't believe you weren't thinking about it this entire time.
I'm so sorry. Multiplicity.
Okay. All right. Now, first of all, is that an old movie? Is that what you meant by an old movie, Multiplicity?
Older than now? How?
Yeah.
In
my day, an old movie meant like the 30s, and in yours, it means something from the 80s.
Yeah. Like I was thinking like Singing in the Rain, and she was like twins, and I was like, oh, God.
But when did you just see Multiplicity recently?
Yes. And I loved it. It was so good.
It's just a lot of Michael Keaton. Was it like, do you think it was before? It must have been before its time or something. Because I remember liking it, but being a mildly disappointed by it.
Oh, it was embarrassing how hard I was laughing. I thought it was so funny.
And did you?
And it was, and what? It's like, and it's like, how hard is your construction, you know, a job where you're like, I need four more of me, but they're all different. And I just love it. Was, and also like cloning was very far-fetched because they just thought you could just make a person and that would be just all of it. It was great.
Yeah. Well, that they explored the idea that each one's going to be a little less pure, you know, less like the original person. So it's, you know, one of the Michael Keatons is just running around just being a complete idiot.
Yeah. Then there's the tough one. And then
I got to see it again, I guess. And Andy McDowell is the woman that gets stuck with this weirdo.
Yeah, I feel like Andy McDowell is always the woman who gets stuck with a weirdo.
Right. And she just is locked. So sweet. She's like, something's wrong with you. And it's like, there's no woman on earth that would be that sweet. And she's just a little angel.
That's what she did, right? Groundhog Day. That was her
time. Yeah, her whole thing was like, hey, wait a second. What's wrong with you?
Just the oblivious earth angel is her typecast. She's just like
90s leading gal in comedies. You're just like, I will put up with a lot of your bullshit. I'm like, hell yes.
Thank God they changed the world. We're on the journey to women, how we write women changing.
Yes.
No wonder for 50 years. No wonder every guy of my generation is like, oh, we can get away with anything. This is awesome.
We can do whatever. Like, I could just be, oh, my God.
Sam?
All right.
Same question.
Okay, so there's a lot of good movies on Prime Video right now. And
Tell us one that you really like from Prime.
Okay, so there's an old movie from 1950 called In a Lonely Place with Humphrey Bogart and Gloria Graham, and it's great. It's so, okay. So it's like, everyone's going to talk about like the bogey obvious ones, like, you know, Maltese Falcon or those movies. But this is a great, really well-written movie. Dark awesome. Script, tight, love. Yeah. It's fantastic. Check it out.
Hey, Anna, is Multiplicity on Prime?
No, I don't know. You know, it's really embarrassing. Okay. I bought it on DVD.
Wait a second. Stop that right now.
I'll put that down.
Where? You wanted the full 1990s experience. You're like, I'm going to watch this on DVD as well.
She's like, I do have Netflix, but they send me, I still have the thing where they send me the DVDs to watch and I send them back.
Yeah.
Well, how did you even get a DVD of it?
On Amazon.
Oh my God.
They just send it to you.
That's
why I love Michael Keaton. Wait, I was like,
send
there's
it to
four
you,
Michael
buy it,
Keaton.
They send it to you.
Yeah. Primed it. But yeah, I was sold on it because there's four of him. And I was like, I gotta get this, needs to live in my house. I must have this.
I mean, it's like between the two of you and Sam, you've really come up with an amazing double bill of they're like practically opposites, In a Lonely Place and Multiplicity.
It's Gloria Graham is great. She's in another one of my favorites called, you ever hear this movie, The Big Heat?
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude, that's another, I don't know if it's probably not streaming anywhere, but it's just an awesome movie from like the 40s, but it's badass.
I like, recommendations from a current perspective of something older, because, you know, there's just so much stuff out there that, you know, is so disappointing. You really want to be pointed at, you know, you want to be pushed in the right direction. Jackie, it could be old, could be new, doesn't matter. It could be borrowed, it could be blue. Okay. What movie would you recommend?
I have to think, but I recently saw, so I didn't know at what point in the show was going to be the right time to tell you I've seen total 11 movies in my life. Not really 11, but I somehow I miss movies and I don't know how. Like, I don't even want to make you the list of all the classics I have not seen. And that's embarrassing as an actor. But recently, I feel cheesy saying it now, but I loved The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Oh, my God. I was screaming. And literally while I was watching it, I was like, why don't I watch more movies? You know what I watch? Like, I guess this is the most basic bitch shit ever, but I love true crime documentaries. And I've been so lost in them in the last couple of years. I've missed so many movies that
What's your favorite true crime?
I mean, I like all of it, but recently I just watched, what's the one where the dude thinks his dad's the Zodiac killer?
Oh, I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to like the worst animal of all.
Women be watching true crime, man.
That's what
I'm
saying.
You guys love it. You guys love murder.
We need to know what to be prepared for.
It's almost like that's fair.
I'm just almost like a training show video. Up.
What about The Jinx? You ever see that one?
That's the greatest one of all time.
Yeah, me too.
The show I'm talking about is the most dangerous animal of all.
Ooh.
But I think last year, the year before, like the year of like Parasite, Jojo Rabbit, Okja, I was seeing a lot of movies at that time. And those were like one after the next blowing me away.
One of my best friends is this comic, Rachel Feinstein. He's hilarious. And she's obsessed with true crime, like even more than me. And she'll always, like, she will watch it right before bed. And she'll be like, the other day she was literally saying to me, like, you need to watch this show. It gives you closure. They, you know, it's all about like trying to find it out how it happened. And she was pitching me Unsolved Mysteries.
No,
I'm like, there is no so closure. Funny.
Oh, you know what else? You know what else I just recently saw? Because I also love documentary movies. Sorry if I just got tangential, Sam. I was Googling something. But the Three Identical Strangers. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Holy incredible. Shit. Like,
heartbreaking.
So I just basically, I mean, it's insane. But the I've been really into docs, but also, I think everybody talked about this many years ago and everyone has seen it, but you really should see Okja. That movie had me on the floor. About the big giant pig?
Yes.
With Tilda Swinton? Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have you on the record. Thank you all for your honest answers. You'll be receiving a notification in a few weeks in the mail whether or not you'll be accepted.
Great. All I heard was Multiplicity.
Yeah. Multiplicity.
I heard very little else in the last few minutes.
No, I just like to, I write it all down because then I share with everybody in because people don't want to be taking notes while they listen to this. So that I include
in the tweet, you know, I'll list off all the, I won't say who said which movie, but I'll say, you know, which movies we were talking about. We're going to play a game, and we're going to get to it right after this really fast break. We'll be right back. No flipping.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. And we're going to play a game. Is everybody up for a game?
Woo!
Let's do it.
We spent so much time on the talking part that now we got to get right to this game. And it's a little complicated. It's called Weird Algorithm. Were we playing it the last time you were on the show, Sam?
I don't think so.
Basically, here's how it works. IMDb, the website, the Internet Movie Database, they have this weird algorithm where if you're looking at the cast list of a movie, you can rearrange it or refine it, as they say, to list the names of the people in order of their popularity according to the algorithm there at IMDb. So it tends to really mix things up and make it hard to guess who would be, you know, who would be top billed in this new formation. And so it's a guessing game where everybody can say, you know, you can change your answer or, you know, or say the same name as somebody else. It's just a matter of each person will get a chance to go first. But this first round, we'll start with Anna. I'll name a movie and you tell me, you know, who you think would be like, you know, you want the top billed person according to this popularity index.
But does that mean that we have to know who's in the movie, or you'll also tell us that?
It'll help to know who's in the movie. I'll give hints as to who the big stars of the movie are, but that's part of the fun of this game is that, you know, sometimes the big stars do prevail and other times they do not at being, you know, retaining their billing.
When you're mean, nervous.
I like
this. It's pretty fun and also a terrible thing to tell any actor about, because now they're, you know, can look up movies they were in and then see where they rank with everybody.
Yeah, it's a new way to get your feelings hurt. That's fun.
Yeah. But each person will, like I said, will get a chance to go first. Anna in the first round, then Sam, and then Jackie. Oh, and I should say the points are, if you come up with somebody who's, you know, number one, then that's 3 points, two is 2 points, and three is 1 point, and anything four or lower, even though, congratulations, yes, they are in the movie, it's not worth any points. And the first film is the one about the newspaper in D.C., our nation's capital, where I heard some interesting things happen there this last week.
I don't know what you mean.
There was rumors, but, you know, I can't believe anything I read anymore.
Yeah, no, truly.
The film is called The Post, and it stars ostensibly Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, who you don't get any bigger than those two. Or do you? Who do you think it is, Anna?
Stanley Tucci? Oh, wait. Well, am I supposed to guess who's bigger?
Who in that movie might be ranked higher based on the current popularity index?
I would say Tom Hanks.
I mean, that's a solid answer right there, because he is the top billed star of the movie. Sam, what do you think?
That's tough. I mean, you were going algorithm and he just had COVID, so that might help his numbers, right? So I guess I can I go Hanks too, or do I have to go different?
No, you could say Hanks as well.
I'll go Hanks.
You know, you might want to, you know, not say what Anna says in another round, just to, you know, just for strategy reasons.
Fair enough.
Jackie, what do you think?
Well, I know Ally Brie. Okay. I know Ally Brie was in that movie from Glow. So I want to say that just because I love her, but I want to get the points. And since they're going Hanks, I guess I'll just go Street.
I mean, yeah, that's one way to go.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm either going to just blow it and say Ally Brie because I love her, or I'm going to say Meryl Streep. I don't want to say what everyone else is saying. I've been a contrarian since I was born. So let's just go Meryl Streep.
I just hope that later on in this game, you have an opportunity to shorten somebody else's name, because that's
Wait, who super, did I shorten?
Allison?
Oh, get a grip. Okay, fine. I didn't even know I was doing the douchey friendship thing.
I loved it. No, I loved it because it also sounds cool, Ally Brie.
Oh, she's just Ally Brie. Like, she doesn't even introduce herself as Allison. Like, she's,
if you were being pretentious, you would have been like Ally this and Ally that without the Brie. But the Ally Brie is like...
Oh, yeah, that's why I didn't even realize I was doing that douche thing that people do. Oh yeah, well, it's like when I was talking to Doug, I wasn't doing that, but damn it, I guess
so funny.
I did.
I just text this whole exchange to my buddy Bob De Niro.
To your homie Bob.
Bobby. Like, that's what's fun, is when, like, because I just thought that people even in her inner circle just called her Allison. I didn't imagine that Ally was something people called her.
It's Ally.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, coming in fourth place in this particular motion picture is Sarah Paulson. She's always up to
something.
I would
think she'd be in third place.
You'd think, but that place was taken by Meryl Streep.
Whoa.
So that's worth 1 point for Jackie.
Why don't you not even give me the point, Doug? You know what? At this point.
You want me to keep it?
No, you know what? No, I take it back. Give it to me. Sam, I worked fucking hard for it, okay? I want it.
Do you want to give it to charity? Do you want to play for charity today?
Yes, I'd like to give that point to a purposeful rescue. I love that, dog rescue.
Okay, Jackie's point goes to dog rescue. And Sam and Anna both get 2 points because Tom Hanks is in the two slot. And coming in at number one, I'll say her full name because I don't know her that well.
Damn.
Allison Brie.
No!
Yeah, you were totally on the right track.
Can anyone believe this just happened? This has to be top three biggest twists ever on Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah.
All right, fine. It wasn't that crazy, but what?
Why is she in the news? What happened? It's good news, right?
She's in a hit Christmas movie with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, but I think there's something even more recent than that. Was she announced, is she going to be a superhero in something?
I don't know.
I think they announced some new project that she's going to be doing that I think I remember thinking to myself, that sounds good.
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
But I'm a big fan of her. She's very good.
Wait, this is so exciting. I can't wait to tell her to listen. That she beat Tom and Meryl? This is big.
I got to see, I went to a screening where there's a bunch of people there that were, you know, successful and cool, but she wasn't there with anybody. Like, Dave Franco was busy or something. And so we ended up sitting together and hanging out and talking. And like, she was very, very cool. Like, very.
Yeah, she's a pretty bad bitch for sure.
Yeah, just instantly you feel like you know her already. Okay, the second movie is, Sam, you get to go first on this one, then Jackie, and then Anna. But, cool. Like, you know, you can share everybody can show their work. A movie that just arrived, strangely enough, on Netflix on January 1st, which I thought was an interesting move, Four Christmases, starring Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn. Two of the biggest names you'll find at the back end of the alphabet. What do you think, Sam?
I love a good back end of the alphabet. It took me a second.
I gotta go Reese Witherspoon on this one.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I love.
She's a pretty big deal. She's not in it. She's producing it. She's busy.
I was a child of swingers, man. I got a lot of love for Vince Vaughn for sure, but I think it's got to be her.
And so that's how your parents met. They were swingers.
The what?
That's how my parents.
When I was a kid, my screen name was SM Swinger because I loved that movie. And my mom was like, I don't think you know what that word means. I was like, I think I've got a good handle, Mom. Why don't you back off? And she was right. It turns out I did not know it was about the diner. So
I mean, it is interesting. I didn't live in LA at the time, I don't think. So I didn't really know that diner so well. So I really was like, I thought they were just trying to imply like that was a hip word to say. Because also they do dance that, what's that dancing style that was really popular for a little while?
Oh, the Macarena.
I don't know, but it was,
the tiny shit.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Like swing?
Yeah. That's why I thought the movie was called Swingers, not because of the restaurant, but because of the... because of swing dancing. I guess it's both. Wow, they're even more clever than I thought. In a fight, I would pick that movie over Good Will Hunting.
Swingers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the mood, right?
I guess so.
I mean, Good Will Hunting, that's... although my friend will shit on that movie because he says that movie is basically Matt Damon and Ben Affleck calling themselves geniuses. if you think about it, and you're like,
I compared those two movies because they really feel like, you know, first time out for some people that need to learn a little bit more about how you can't, everything shouldn't sound so written.
Right.
You know, every scene ends with like a real boffo, you know, one liner.
Right.
Coming in at number three for that movie.
Wait, we didn't guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sam did. I'm sorry. It's Jackie's turn.
I just want you guys to be able to see how publicly competitive I am, and which is why I just shouted so loud at Doug.
Yeah. No, but that was the right thing to do.
Immediately got flushed and was like, okay, you just shouted. So I'm embarrassed. Guys, listen. I went the Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks route. So here's what's tricky about this game, and I know that's the point. It's like, okay, is the whole gag that like someone in the movie that you'd never think is actually going to be at the top of the algorithm? Because that's what happened with me last time. But now I feel like I'm going to say someone random who was in the movie and it's going to be like, no, it's clearly Reese Witherspoon.
That could happen.
Oh, Doug.
That scenario could occur.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's in that movie. So
it's the dude with the buffalo horn from the riot at the Capitol. He was in that movie.
Oh my God, I'm a big fan.
A lot of people have been searching him this week, so just keep that in mind.
Big fan. Okay. So it's Reese Witherspoon, John Favreau.
Yeah, and the lectern guy.
I love him. Again, the Viking guy.
He would fit into that movie because some of their relatives are real rambunctious.
Maybe rambunctious. Maybe I'll get, I'm going to go, I'm wasting too much time. I'm going to go Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, okay.
Because.
I like it.
Okay. Broadway people need our support. Okay.
Exactly. Anna, what do you think?
Ooh, I do know Dwight Yoakam was in that movie.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Dwight Yoakam could steal a podium.
I'll say Dwight.
I don't even know who that is. Who's Dwight Yoakam?
I mean, I know he's a country singer, but if he was standing in front of me, I wouldn't be like, oh, Dwight Yoakam. Like, I have no idea who that is.
If you've ever seen Wedding Crashers, he's in the beginning of Wedding Crashers.
Right, at the divorce. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, he's
that. Is he a singer or is he just a, Western?
He's a country singer.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but like kind of more like the country rock, kind of like cooler country singer type thing.
Wait, Doug, that does sound like cool.
He does Coke with Johnny Depp and stuff.
Well, Coke with Johnny Depp.
It does sound super awesome now.
Fights with whiskey bottles.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Fucking hell yeah.
That's good.
All right.
Yeah, he's a hell of a wife beater in Sling Blade. I think that might have even been his acting debut, and he's really terrifying in that movie.
That should have been my movie to tell everyone to see. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, check out my new podcast, Yo, Yoakum. Coming out soon, but we don't have time for that now. So who'd you end up saying, Anna? You said Dwight Yoakam. Okay, so coming in at number three was, in fact, Kristen Chenoweth.
Ooh.
Man, I love coming in third.
Yeah, that's worth 1 point, just like it was the last round when you did it then.
Thank you.
But that's the bad news is that coming in at number two, Sam was right. It is Reese Witherspoon.
I'm middle of the road, man. I'm playing it safe.
Yeah. It's working out. And then Anna, unfortunately, I really, for creativity, I want to give you all the points, but he didn't even crack the top five or six names, I don't think.
He's not in my heart.
Number one, in a supporting role, which I find very amusing. I think he's very funny in this movie, as he also is in The Breakup. He's underrated in that one as well. We know more as a director and star of Swingers. It's Jon Favreau.
Ah.
Damn.
Yeah, the Favreau puzzle. If somebody had figured out that he was in that movie, it might have, because he's the Mandalorian. Goodness gracious.
Ooh, there we go. You know, I met him at Caroline's once, and this was like many years ago. I was opening for Kevin Nealon and Michael Che. From SNL was the other opener, and we both did not do well. They'd been great all weekend, but that Sunday they were not very good. And I remember after the show, Jon Favreau came to the green room I guess he's friends with Kevin Nealon, and Michael Che was like, why don't we all take a picture? And I could just see that Jon Favreau was not at all into it. And it was this awkward photo. And I was like, this guy, I don't think he likes us, Mike. And Mike's like, whatever. Like, we were drinking. He was like, whatever. And then like literally 5 days later, I get a call from the Comedy Cellar, and they're like, can you fill in for someone tonight on the early show? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I came by, and front row, Jon Favreau again. He did not. I watched him not like me twice in 1 week.
Yeah,
watching so doing.
Stuff. And I like love that guy. I literally grew up like, I'm like, yeah, Swingers is like, as I said, the shit. So it was like,
unrequited love.
Brutal.
All right, you guys, we got to get going. So we got to play one more round to determine a winner today.
All right.
And what's that?
I said, not me, but I'm like, okay with it. I'm just calling it ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, you and Anna are tied at 2 apiece and Sam's got 4. So if either one of you gets 3 points and Sam gets 0 on this next one, then you're good to go.
Okay.
And if you both do that.
So you're saying I should be playing conservatively here.
I'm saying always.
Thank you, Anna.
Always swing for the fences. And don't sell your dreams short or something like that.
Yeah, and then honestly, you might land among the stars.
That's it. That I knew I could come up with the right cliche kind of thing.
Bush.
Mm-hmm. There was a motion picture with a big cast. I'll tell you at least three of the people that were in it. And I hope you know this movie. It's called Soap Dish.
I do know Soap Dish.
Sally Field, Kevin Kline, Whoopi Goldberg, and it's got a pretty big cast of pretty popular people. But who do you think is number one? Jackie, you get to go first this time.
Who were the three main people you said?
I said that it's got Sally Field,
Whoopi Goldberg, Kevin Kline. Those are who I remember.
Those three, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, those are the easy ones. But there are also lots of other interesting ones.
I saw that movie. You're hearkening back to a time when I watched a lot of movies.
Oh, okay.
That was like, this came out, I think, before I was, oh no, this was 90s. I thought this was 80s.
Anna thinks this is old.
Yeah. This came out before Anna was born. Dang. Well,
like Multiplicity old.
Yeah.
All right.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's such a great movie.
Oh my goodness. Wait till you hear who else is in it.
Well, I'm so excited you're talking about a movie I know. Okay. So I have two guesses, but I don't want to explain both of them because then someone else will guess the other one. And then if they win, I'm going to throw the phone in the river because I'm not happy. I'm not a good sport.
I hope you're not near a river.
No. I'll put enough water in the tub to ruin the phone though. Okay. Cause Carrie Fisher was in that movie. Secret. Okay. I'm going to say this is a wild thing, but I'm going to say, oh wait, no, this doesn't make sense. I was going to say Elizabeth Shue. Cause she's on The Boys and that show is so massive, but it's not like it just came out. Like the season that came out was a while ago, but I'm just going to go rogue and go Elizabeth Shue.
Okay.
Because Sam, The Boys is a very popular show.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Anna's turn. Who do you like in this race, Anna?
Can you give me a hint?
Yes, yeah, Sally Field, Kevin Kline, or Whoopi Goldberg.
And then Jackie says Elizabeth Shue.
Friend of friend. Okay.
I also said Carrie Fisher was in the movie.
Whoopi Goldberg has a show, right?
She's on The View, and she cut off Meghan McCain.
Yeah, she gets mad on TV every day.
So that's a popular thing.
Yeah.
She has some popularity. Oh, geez. Okay, I'm gonna say Whoopi.
Stone Whoopi.
Just because I don't know anybody else in it.
Damn.
That's probably the right choice, but I'm gonna, you know, live a little, and now that I know Carrie Fisher's in it, after your Mandalorian comments, I'm like, fuck it. That's Star Wars. Let's go. Carrie Fisher.
All right. Turns out Whoopi Goldberg is all the way down at number 6. I'm sorry, Anna.
Damn.
But was a good guess nonetheless, because she really was on The View, cutting off Meghan McCain just the other day. But coming in at number three, it's a good call on your part, Jackie. Help Sam out a little bit because it's Carrie Fisher.
Oh, I mean, yay, I'm happy I helped Sam.
Yeah, he's got 5 points now. But then coming in at number two, who I was loath to mention, but it would have been probably very helpful for everybody if I had, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
And at number one.
That'll beat him out.
At number one, because, yeah, sure, The Boys was huge, but she wasn't even in this last season of The Boys. She recently turned up on Cobra Kai. The hugest thing ever. And that, of course, is Elizabeth Shue. You had it. You
almost had it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, wait, but did Sam still win?
No, you got it's a tie now.
Damn.
You both have 5 points.
I'll give Jackie my points.
Sorry, Sam. Anna gave me hers. And I donated my first one to charity. Oh, my God.
That's crazy if that's how it worked, if Anna just donated her points to Jackie.
I'm happy to tie, Sam.
I've got a tiebreaker if you want to do it real quick.
Sure.
All right, Anna, just hang out.
I'll guess in my head.
Yes, I want to know what your guess was. Closest to this number without going over, how many cast members are there listed as being in the movie Soap Dish? According to IMDb.
Dude, I haven't seen the movie.
This closest is... without going over. Well, you know, just think of movies and how big the casts are. And you did hear that there's you heard like five or six names of fairly famous people. I don't know how much of a clue that is, though, because that could mean they're the entire cast, or it could mean that there's lots of other people. But Jackie, you go ahead and guess first.
Oh shit! Well then, he could Price is Right me and go one. All right. Well, it's so weird. I'm so happy you said Soap Dish, because as I've said multiple times, I've seen that movie more than once. And
yeah, this could be like a Glenn Ross situation where it's like, that's the cast. I don't know what's going on here.
Don't know. We didn't talk much about what happens in the movie.
Okay, closest without going over?
I mean, it's basically just a silly way to settle the tie.
Okay. Well, it's obviously a big deal to me, Doug. So, God, I'm going to go nuts and I'm going to say 21.
You said you were okay with a tie a minute ago.
Yeah, well, now it's a big deal. My dog came in the room. He's on my lap. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of him.
So you're saying cast is in like everyone in the movie or what?
Yeah, all this speaking roles that would be listed on an IMDb page, like, you know.
I guess
sometimes they throw in uncredited people. But
I think I made a mistake, Sam, but you go.
Yeah, what did you say, 22?
I said 21.
She said 21.
22, baby.
Yeah, and I think I should have said 27. But okay, I said 21 and I'll stick with it. I
said 27 in my head.
Oh my God, Anna, we're one fucking team and no one understands us. God.
I should have thought more about the dollaring situation, but I also thought, you know, it would be a good tiebreaker for three people, but with just two, the dollaring is especially cruel. But it worked in this case for Sam because they list 47 people.
I knew it was a massive cast, but I didn't know if it was like the one liner.
It's called
people.
Soap Dish. Yeah, it's called Soap Dish, Sam, because it's about a daily soap opera. And the people that the cast and the director and the producer. And
I'll look it up. Yeah, it's really good.
No.
Funny?
It's okay.
No, it's just like kind of a classic. Like it was like real rompy, like sort of a Broadway show, Noises Off. Like it's real campy and it's like inside soap operas and you get to see what happens behind the scenes and they're fighting and whatever.
It's like if you're watching Tootsie and you go, there's not enough scenes of her at work. thank you all so much for being here. And congratulations to you, Sam, for being our winner today. What's the name of the special again?
Up on the Roof is on YouTube. And I got this. My previous special from last year is on YouTube as well. You can just search in Sam Morrell and they should come up first.
Well, you know, everybody's saying they're great, and so I hope it's doing well for you. And
thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. As the winner, you have the option of coming back again next week, but we could discuss it later. You don't have to answer right now.
All right, cool.
This isn't like The Bachelor where we make you propose right now. You can.
Well, if I knew that, I would have.
Played better.
I'm really happy for Sam though. Truly, you can tell by my voice. No, you can tell. I really am.
Hope you guys are.
Maybe you could be Sam's proxy if he doesn't want to come back.
That feels right for everybody. Me and Anna are coming back as a team.
Please.
Jackie, Best Leftovers Ever on Netflix. It's already huge on there. I think it's saw really it in the top cool. 10.
Yeah, yeah, we're in the top 10 for the whole first week. It's really wild.
Wow.
And it was up there with like Queen's Gambit and Cobra Kai and stuff. And we were like, what is happening? Yeah, it's exciting stuff, you guys. Yeah, check it out. Follow me on Instagram at Jackie Tohn.
Jackie, Tohn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Anna Mazza, who is Anna the Mazza on the socials. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. People That's should look me. You up there. Yes, you make you cracking wise on the socials, and you get to do any shows. You doing any Zoom shows?
Stand up is slowly coming back, so I'm going to Georgetown, Kentucky, at the end of the month, and have some more dates that were canceled that are getting rebooked for this year. So that's pretty good.
We'll see. Yeah, I love it. Thank you for being here. Sorry, Will. It was such a long break. Jackie, welcome anytime. Sam can take the option of returning next week if he wants it. If you want to get a cameo from me, go to cameo.com and look me up by name. And also, I have a Patreon for my show, Getting Dug with High, which is patreon.com/gettingdug. And as always, I love weed, okay? I love it. Not as much as I love pussy.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in